are you gonna go on the hunt? It's at the manor with Hillary Swank.
This is the song we're doing?
That's all I got.
I wasn't sure how long it was gonna go for, so I was kind of just riding with it. That was very interesting, though. Shout out James for that beautiful song about
Shout
the
out
hunt.
Hillary Swank.
Shout out Hillary Swank. I guess I was going to do like a reveal on that, but I guess we don't really need a reveal. She's on the fucking IMDb credits. But like, Kim's experience watching this movie was she watched it in theaters, and then she said she was watching it. She was like mildly entertained, and then I think at one point she was like, okay, now Hillary Swank is here. And I think that was Kim's review of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, she's in the opening scene.
She's turned around, though. You don't see her. I guess. I mean, you see the back of her. I mean, if you saw the credits, but I don't know. I don't think anyone's, like, purposely looking to see if Hillary Swank is there unless they were like, oh, dude, Hillary Swank's going to be in this.
Well, you definitely know that it's her on the plane.
She's turned around there, too.
You see her. I mean, you see her.
I mean, it's
I knew
Swank.
It was Hillary Swank. I was not surprised to see Hillary Swank a little bit.
I guess it kind of makes sense in the whole rigmarole of what was going on. But basically this is
we see her face in the movie because she gets interviewed by her boss and
that's like an hour and 5 minutes in, though. Hour 10 minutes in, maybe.
No, it's not. It's the very beginning.
You're talking about the flashback, like the 1 year ago flashback when she gets interviewed by that old dude in the very white room?
She gets called out at the very beginning and she's like, it's a joke.
No,
that's why they made it a thing.
I just rewatched it this morning, James. That's an hour and 10 minutes into the movie.
That's an hour and 10 minutes into the movie?
Yes, that is an hour and 10 minutes in. Like, after that, the movie is just the fight and then it moves on. I promise you, James.
Let me re-reference my notes real quick.
I absolutely promise you. So it stands. Hillary Swank pops it at one point randomly. You know, we'll get to all that in a second, though. Real quick, I want to thank a few Patreons. I actually think I don't remember what we did on the Blair Witch episode. Thank you to Alexis Sizemore.
Stop it.
Come on, man. How was your middle school? We got Smitty 77. We got Octus Cannon.
I like that one.
It's a very interesting one. Shout out Octus Cannon. We got Leonard Urban, and it's all in capital letters, so I feel like they were really excited when they wrote that, or real angry. I don't know which one that is. Darcy Way, highway, my way all night, you know?
I don't know if I know that one.
Highway, going my way, all night long. You know that song, man.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, my God. You know it. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Thank you to Rose. Thank you to Rose. We'll get to some
thank
other
you,
ones in the next episode. But, yeah, today, and honestly, well, the most important Patreon of this episode is Scotty Three Chains.
Yeah.
Scotty, thanks for sticking around, bud. Thanks for waiting for the hunt. I want to say that like unforeseen circumstances made this episode delayed forever, but I'm gonna tell you the full truth. I fucking want to do it, Scotty.
I was gonna say, I want to tell you that the wait is worth it, but guess what?
The wait's not worth it, Scotty. The wait sucks. This movie's stupid. I don't know. It's like, it angers me because it's kind of good. It's like not the worst, but it could have been a lot better if it wasn't absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm sitting on that one. I don't know. I have a lot to say and also little to say at the same time. But thank you, Scotty. He donated on patreon.com/horsesoup, as well as all the other homies that we just mentioned. Scotty picked this with a pick a movie tier. That's the only reason I'm doing it. Let me just make that clear.
Are you sure?
Let me just make that clear. Anyway, I'm Caleb.
Oh, hey, I'm James.
You got some mucus in your throat, dude?
Oh, I gotta clear it out. I know, man. I gotta get one coughing. Can you mute me?
I can't mute you, but I'll change the camera and I'll let you clear it out.
Okay, beautiful.
So no one sees you do it. All right, so we have brought you here today to discuss The Hunt from 2020. It had a lot of COVID-related issues, not the one that Howie Mandel was talking about. this is COVID-related in a different way. It released to COVID audiences everywhere, and then it got pulled after like 5 days or something. I think it released like right in March.
Gotcha.
Like middle March, something like that of 2020. So because of that, it made about $12.4 million off of a budget of $14 million. I'm going to go ahead and say that there's other reasons as well, though. I don't think it deserved to make more than $12.4 million. I feel like that's already a lot.
Yeah, that's plenty.
This was directed by Craig Zobel. Some movie called Compliance in 2012 is what he made in the past. He did a bunch of Iggy Pop music videos in 2013.
Huh.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't even a bunch. It was like one, and then one where Iggy Pop is interviewing a fortune teller, and he's like, "Hey, is my album gonna do good? I really want my album to do good." And she's like, "I see that your album's gonna do really good."
Huh.
That's pretty much the whole video. He's like, "Yeah, dude, rock and roll."
And we just let this guy make a movie.
Yeah, now he's making fucking movies. He did Z for Zachariah with Chris Pine, Margot Robbie, and oh. I had to write down the pronunciation of this guy's name, so I'm just going to do it the best of my ability. Chiwetel Ejiofor. There's like a... Hold on. There's a red line under that. Ejiofor. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Okay.
It's complicated, but I looked at the pronunciation, you assholes, so I tried. That was in 2015. After that, just a bunch of television series, The Hunt in 2020, and then now he's working on the Penguin TV series that's set to release this year.
Oh.
That's the one with Colin
no.
Farrell. It actually looks kind of decent. It doesn't look terrible, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, the Penguin as in, like, DC, the Penguin, right?
Yes.
It's going to be shit.
Colin Farrell is the Penguin, though.
It doesn't matter.
Remember
that?
It
doesn't
that?
Matter.
Remember the...
Every single time. They're like, "We're going to do something cool." No, WB, if WB has anything going on with it, it's going to end up being shitty.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty true.
It has every single time.
But remember Colin Farrell in, what was that vampire movie remake? Fright Night remake.
I do, yeah.
Come on, man. It could end up being good just for that reason.
Maybe.
Colin Farrell works magic on a bad movie. So I'm open to it just because of that. I don't know. Everyone involved in this is a TV guy, which is the issue with this movie. It's written by Nick Kearse, who was also an executive producer on The Hunt. Pretty much everyone involved in this was an executive producer, except for one of the writers who was a regular producer. He has exclusively worked on TV aside from this film.
Okay.
Like just TV. The other writer is Damian Lindelof, who created and therefore wrote all 121 episodes of Lost.
Oh.
Creator of Lost. He wrote on the screenplay for Cowboys and Aliens, starring Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford in 2011.
Oh, I saw that in theaters.
You saw that in theaters?
Yeah.
Was it amazing?
No, it's awful.
That must have been a great experience, though, right?
It was kind of funny.
Tell me all about it.
There's not much to say, man. It was a weird time in my life. There wasn't much coming out that time.
I didn't know much to do.
I saw Cowboys versus Aliens in theaters with Daniel Craig.
I would have loved to see that. Oh, you were with Daniel Craig when
yeah,
you saw
it
in theaters?
That was Daniel Craig.
You guys were just hanging out, being bros. He was like, "Hey, you want to see my new movie? You want to watch me for an hour and a half?"
Yeah. It really is a movie that's like just him the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
There's not a lot of other
characters. Of Harrison Ford. It's just Daniel Craig walking
just a
around.
A lot of Daniel Craig.
He's like, "Where's Harrison Ford at?"
Yeah, he shows up a little bit. He puts in a little work at the end.
I keep thinking about the Blair Witch Taken crossover. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. I want it to happen. Remember where Liam Neeson's trying to find Josh? I don't know why, but ever since we did that episode, it's living rent-free in my head. I don't remember if that was the first one that we messed up.
Right.
Or if it was the one that went out to the public. But I keep thinking about just Liam Neeson, like, "You took Josh." It's all I want in filmmaking.
A particular set of skills.
Don't touch my Josh. Or I will hunt you down.
Taken Josh.
Whoa, my God, that's a great title. I mean, it was right there. I don't know how he didn't think of it before, but I need that to happen. Someone please make Taken Josh, and everyone's just going to know what it is. They're like, "Oh, Josh from the Blair Witch Project." I know Josh.
You remember? Josh! Yeah, that guy.
Oh, my God. Liam Neeson's looking off of one side of the hotel. He's like, "Josh was right over there when they attacked." Oh my God, I want nothing more. Can we just talk about a Josh Taken episode?
Taken Josh.
Okay, he also wrote on the screenplay for Prometheus, World War Z, two very different movies. Remember Tomorrowland, that George Clooney movie?
Oh, I remember. I didn't watch it.
I saw that in theaters.
Shit. Oh, damn. We both made some bad choices.
Why are we watching all these Damian Lindelof movies in theaters? Yeah, I saw Tomorrowland in theaters like with my ex in 2015.
Oh shit.
We were just looking for some random it was the same thing right, as you and Cowboys. Kind of it was like nothing was playing, and it was like, all right, what's this George Clooney movie?
That's crazy.
And then he created and therefore wrote all 9 episodes of the Watchmen TV series.
Oh.
Don't you hate that like terribly, or did you like it? I don't remember. Didn't you have feelings about it?
I have feelings about the movie. I didn't watch.
We've had conversations about the movie.
I didn't watch the miniseries.
I haven't seen it either, so I have no comments about it. We've also discussed that I am like a bad viewer of it anyway, because I didn't read the comics or anything. So I'm kind of just what pisses everyone else off, I don't give a shit about.
No, I mean, it's fine. What happened is Zack Snyder is a child and reached into his toy box and pulled out action figures smashed them together. And put that on the screen. And that's just not what the story's about. So it's fine. It's just not at all what the story was about.
But he had the blot mask, and I like that.
Yeah, it was cool. It looked cool on screen. You're right.
I'm the audience. But I'm also just me. So since then, this dude wrote on The Hunt, and he's now working on an untitled Star Wars project.
Oh, so I hate him.
Probably. I know you have feelings about that for sure, too.
If you're that tightly wound with Disney, I'm probably going to dislike you, man.
Like, yeah. I mean, I was around
You're a puppet, man.
I was around for the first few, and then they really annoyed me with all those Star Wars movies. And then now, at this point, I don't know. I fell off on all of them. I haven't seen all of them at this point. So.
Yeah, me either.
And that's coming from a big Star Wars fan. So
I mean,
you're not. But
I don't even think I'm caught up on Mandalorian. And
I'm not either.
I actually really liked that.
Mandalorian was great. I did not watch the second, third season. I don't remember whichever one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think I just watched the first.
Yeah, I think I'm there too.
So I watched a few episodes of the next season after the first one that I watched in full.
Yeah, there's just something about everything Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, everything in that.
I used to watch all the Marvel movies, too, when they came out.
To me,
and
it just feels all homogenized now. It's just all the same thing.
They're like, not good anymore. And like, it sucks to admit it, because I was one of those people that had a lot of fun watching the Marvel movies as they released back in the day.
It was great for me, because they always came out like the first weekend in May. That's my birthday weekend, man. Like, it's perfect.
It would always be a thing with like me and Bree and Biggs and a bunch of our friends. Whatever. Like, we'd go see the new Marvel movie, new Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd always meet up at the theater and see all of them. I mean, obviously, we don't live next to each other anymore, so.
Sure.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like if they were good enough, me and you would do that,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely, but we kind of stopped giving a shit.
No, it's just not interesting. I haven't been interested in a lot of movies releasing lately, if I'm being honest. Like, past couple years is the least amount I've been to the theaters in, like, ever.
And I would say that some of my biggest complaints about this movie is simply that I think that's just what modern filmmaking is now, and maybe I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm just becoming a curmudgeon, and modern comedy, we've talked about that. Like, modern comedy, I just hate it. I hate all of it.
Yeah, I think digital cameras need to just be abolished, because it's doing bad things to filmmaking at this point. They are convenient. I use them. I'm using one right now. I'm using multiple right now. I think they need to be abolished when it comes to movies at this point. When I make a movie, too, it's definitely going to be on digital. What, I'm going to go buy film? Come on. But, it's a plague, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's a plague on filmmaking.
It's rough.
So, The Hunt is a rated R movie. It currently holds a 3.0 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, and a 57% by critics, with a 66% by the audience on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right.
It's fine. I'm pretty okay with all those ratings, because it's not a dog shit terrible movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by no means a great movie.
Agreed.
By no means. Did we mention Blumhouse?
I guess we should, shouldn't we?
Blumhouse, and Blumhouse 1 year before Dashcam with Annie Hardy, specifically. It's just, I don't know about this one, man. Blumhouse was in a weird time. They just really wanted to, I feel like they really wanted to, like, be with the times and, like, you know, hit all these, like, hot words and, like, all these, like, cool things that were going on at the time, and hit all this controversial stuff and make a movie that's, you know, talking about all that stuff no one else is talking about, but really they're just talking about the same shit everyone was talking about in 2020 and 2021.
Exactly.
It is like repetition to its fucking core. It's like everything that, I don't know, fucking Joe Rogan and Andrew Tate was saying in 2020 and 2021 is just regurgitated through Blumhouse. It's fucking ridiculous.
And it's like, what happened? You guys were supposed to be the chosen ones.
I feel like they're not exactly, I don't even know if they have a stance on anything.
Right. It's not even about that. It's just about the bullshit.
They're just trying to make like funny jokes out of like these stereotypes that were going
around
at the time.
No one needed to give Annie Hardy a platform.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, Annie Hardy is fucking ridiculous, but that's a whole other conversation. Go listen to the dash cam episode for that. I mean, but the pieces of shit that they were just rolling out at this time.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just like, it's the equivalent, and this is something that I feel strongly about because, okay, I'm going to start this off. Everyone already knows I'm a huge South Park fan.
Right.
Absolutely love it. But in 2020 and 2021, like there was just so many people just regurgitating the same like political jokes that just, and I'm fine. Like I'm not a person that's super into politics. So I really don't give a shit that much, but like I'm fine with political jokes if they're funny, you know?
Yeah.
But if something's not funny, then like, it just sounds like you're just saying shit just to hit these keywords and go off. It's like South Park just last year, I think it was like fourth quarter of 2023. They made a special that was all about like Randy being a Karen. It's like, why do I give a fuck about this? I'm the biggest South Park fan. I love Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Yeah.
What were you fucking assholes doing with that? Like, what was in your mind that you were like, oh, this Karen joke is going to be fucking hilarious. It's going to kill people. Karen was funny in like 2017. Like, we're like 6 years late to this.
Yeah.
So it's like, it just feels like regurgitating the same shit. I guess this was a little more for the time, I guess, because it was happening right then. There were elections going on and everything. I should probably say this film was originally going to be titled Red State versus Blue State. And there are people involved with this that apparently deny that that was ever a working title. But I saw that floating around, so I'm pretty sure that was the original title. It's just really gay. Like, that's all it is. It's just like, this is annoying.
Okay. Like,
why do I care about
this?
Why do I need politics to go this hard in my horror movie? Like, there may be certain horror movies where politics of something is granted, you know,
right,
depending on what kind of movie it is. Why do I need another? Isn't there already a whole Purge horror movie series that's about hunting people and politics and this and that and blah, 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 vote for this? I don't need more of them. I just don't. I'm bored with them. It's not even me, like, hating them that much. I do. But it's more just me being like bored and annoyed. Like, why are you making this again?
Yeah. And you know, it's funny that we're doing it now, the beginning of 2024, going into another election year where we're just going to be pelted with the same fucking nonsense all over again.
It's just going to be fucking shitty SNL bit after shitty SNL bit. And then movies like this, horror movies that are just trying to recreate SNL, but with horror, where it's just like, there's just some orange dude walking out with like a shitty wig on that looks nothing like Donald Trump. He's just like, yeah, well, the pussy, you grab it. It's just like, yeah, he said that. It was fairly funny when he said it, I guess. The jokes were writing themselves. Like, we didn't need other people to just reiterate everything that was happening on like the fucking presidential debate night in a movie. Like, I don't need that. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Fuck you. That's annoying as shit. God, this movie. But, and I haven't even started talking about the movie yet. I should probably give like context and examples before I start pissing everyone off. But honestly, if you're mad about me saying what I just said right now, then you're probably fucking brain dead. Because if that's entertaining, goddamn, SNL's gone down the drain. SNL's really gone down the drain, man.
Tell me about it, Grandpa.
Okay, so the hunt begins in a way that I really hate. It's like when you just use stupid text message groups to explain the intro of a movie.
I
fucking despise that.
Actually, in general,
I despise
any time they use messaging, whether it's DM or IM or a text or whatever, in movies as a storytelling device. I hate it. If messages are popping up on screen and I have to read them in some way, I'm pissed.
The only time I'll accept that is in like one of those like those digital Zoom movies that were coming out for a while, you know,
right, sure,
where like they're talking in a chat to each other or
and
something.
It's supposed to be that.
If it's relevant and that's what the whole movie is about,
yes,
I will give you that.
Fair enough.
Any
yes,
other
agreed.
Time, fuck off.
Yeah.
Weren't they doing, I think they were doing that in like the Scream TV series at some point where like they did that,
and
right?
The messages would pop
the
up
messages
by their
would
head.
Pop up on the screen.
So stupid.
Ruined
I hate
everything.
It so much.
That was the season where they brought Ghostface
they
back,
brought,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was supposed
would
to.
Would I call him Ghostbase? Ghostbase?
Ghostbase killer?
The most base ghost around. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But yeah, so
yeah,
you know
that
what I'm talking about.
It was supposed to be the good season, like the return of Ghostface. We're going to make it good this time, guys.
And it kind
of
was in ways. Like right. I did like that season. I actually am like probably one of the minority-ish, because I wouldn't say like it's completely hated, but the minority-ish that does like the Scream TV series for what it is, not as like a Scream, you know, I don't see it as like a Scream continuation, really. Right. I watch it as its own entity and
it's
fine.
It's its own thing.
It's
yeah.
cool. It's like watching some MTV, like fucking like.
Because that's what it was.
Like the Sweet 16 horror movie. What was that? My Super Psycho Sweet 16.
Right.
Like something like that, you know? Yeah, it feels like you're just watching a whole TV series of that. So
for
that's
sure.
fine. But what was it talking about? Stupid. Fucking stupid. That's
messages,
what I was talking about.
Text messages. That's yeah. how the movie starts.
Dumb as shit. It's quite literally a thread of absolute nonsense, like sending outdated memes of a turtle humping a shoe the way Kim would hump probably also a shoe. Anyway, it ends with something like, we can't talk about the manor over text. Viva la manor, which, cool. We'll get to
manor.
That later, I guess. We'll get to that later. It could have been cool, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I could watch The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Could have watched Turkey Shoot, which they also said that this was like kind of inspired by Turkey Shoot. I'm like, shut the fuck up. It is.
It wants to be.
It is in the way that it really wants to be. Exactly. Precisely what I was getting to. Moments after this, we come across Glenn Howerton on a plane, which I do enjoy that. I like seeing Glenn Howerton. I like seeing him in horror movies. The only one I know of besides, I think he might be in a couple more, but You're Next.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking of, right? Wait, no. The Strangers.
The Strangers.
The Strangers. I like seeing him around. He always gets blasted pretty early on. You don't get to see much of him.
Mm.
But, I mean, I wonder how he thought this movie turned out. If he thought this was good. Probably not.
I hope not.
He probably didn't care.
I hope his comedy barometer is more sensitive than this movie's was.
I will say he was easily the funniest in the movie because right. he's just playing Dennis Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's not being anyone else. He's just Dennis. Like, at least in The Strangers, he's kind of like, you know, a different person a little bit. But in this, like, he's just playing Dennis.
For sure.
So, I mean, he's like, within moments, he's like, oh, can I get this fancy caviar? What about some champagne? And then
like
he starts talking about
like a fully custom cooked order on an airplane. Uh-huh. Like, there's no kitchen, you asshole.
To be fair, it was a private jet, though, for rich people. How is there not a private kitchen with caviar on that plane? He was actually right to think that. Like, I'm actually on his side because that was ridiculous. She was like, oh, we don't have a full kitchen in here. What are you talking about? There's velvet walls. There's no full kitchen. What are you talking about? Looks like the back of a fucking limousine in this fucking private jet. And he's talking about like, he's like, is this an old historic German champagne that has sparkles from the fucking freckles of God? She's like, no, it's just champagne. He's like, huh, bitch. So the caviar talk gets all interrupted when some random large man comes walking through the middle of the plane. He's freaking out. He yells a bit, but he kind of sounds like he just left the dentist due to like being, I guess, he's drugged. We know that later.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
He just sounds insufferable to listen to. He also tells some old guy that his name's Randy. He's like, Randy. And the old guy gets him to lay down. And this is when you'd assume that the old guy's a doctor and going to help the man. No. He's just going to stab him in the neck with a pen. So that's fun, right?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
I mean, I don't really know what's going on in the movie at this point. But Randy retaliates with a glass bottle, and before he gets a chance to get his retribution, a woman who is not yet fully revealed, Hilary Swank, walks through the frame, stabs Randy in the eye with the end of her heel, and then he's not dead. And I also didn't count his death at first. I had to go back and watch it at the beginning because he kind of like is moving around doing some stuff, but I guess he like did that thing where he faints over and he goes, ugh, and so he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when we kind of pan over to Emma Roberts, just kind of passed out in the corner.
Yeah.
Which they really wanted this to be Scream.
They wanted this to be a lot of things.
What else do they want it to be?
They wanted it to be Turkey Shoot.
Well, they did want it to be Turkey Shoot, but something we haven't mentioned.
Oh.
Click with Adam Sandler. when Emma Roberts grabbed the remote.
I've never seen Click.
Jesus fucking Christ. Don't say that when I'm taking a drink. What is wrong with you? You want Bud Light to go everywhere?
I've never seen Jesus Click, and part of the reason is because every time I'm like, hey, everybody says Click's really good, maybe we should watch Click. And then somebody's like, yeah, but it gets really sad.
You're right,
like,
actually.
Well, then fuck that movie. Let's not watch it.
You know what? I was at your house last week, and I think you suggested that we watch Click because it went by, and then me and Hannah were like, oh, maybe not like right now. Like, Click is awesome, but like
every time people say it gets sad, so I'm like, well, I'm not gonna watch it if it gets sad. Fuck yeah, that movie.
Well, because we don't want to be there like watching you fucking get sad at Click for the first time. You know, the second Click experience is not that bad, but like, I don't want to be there and deal with your tears.
So you're telling me I have to go watch Click by myself first?
Yes, and then we can watch Click whenever. Like, I'll watch Click whenever at that point.
All right, got it.
But you just gotta, like, you gotta do it first. I don't know, catch me on a good night and I'll watch Click with you. Or, like, a bad night. I don't know which one, but, you know, we'll get some Click going. Anyway.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Emma Roberts is ball gagged. Everyone else is ball gagged. It's exactly what you'd expect when you first turn on Be My Cat, a film for Anne.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, if, like, Anne Hathaway was just, like, ball gagged in the corner, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what this film's supposed to be.
That's what it's supposed to be,
but
yeah.
No, this is The Hunt. Anyway, she looks over a small creek, and she's Betty Gilpin's character, Crystal. She's going to be our main character, but just not immediately right now.
Yeah, we're not supposed to know that yet.
Yeah, no, but... Crystal is paying no mind to Emma Roberts as she's trying to remove a ball gag of her own with she had like a hairpin or something.
Yeah.
Speaking of people with ball gags, there's at least five other people with ball gags that Emma Roberts immediately noticed. She notices them congregating toward a large box.
There's a lot of ball gags, and there is a box.
Yep, Ball Gags Box Emporium is what this movie should have been called. So now this box, most assume it's a trap due to the conveniently placed crowbar next to it. What?
That guy.
What did he say?
It's a trap!
He did kind of sound like that. Yeah, enunciation was crazy in this, but I probably didn't notice because I just watched what was that movie? I just watched Flubirds, and I'm sure you haven't listened to that episode yet because it like, just came out, but there's some guy who says, like, he's trying to say something about, like, acres in a 300-mile preserve, I think. I couldn't get all the words, but he says, like, it's something in the front of a 300-mile preserve. That's exactly how he said it. If you guys have listened to the episode already, by the time this is out, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's amazing.
That's a quote unquote. So after that, I don't know. I couldn't really notice people slurring their words at all. I've been through hell and back. So yeah, this crowbar, he just starts opening it up. He throws this giant wooden lid off to the side. You could tell that was a fake wooden lid because he kind of just threw it like it was a piece of paper.
Oh yeah.
It was a wooden lid. I don't know what. 20 feet by 20 feet.
Right, supposed to be like from a wooden crate.
Like a giant wooden crate, like that's in a wooden crate that they kept inside of a shipment container, and it took the entire parameter of the shipment container. Yeah. And he just threw that lid off like it was nothing. There was also giant nails coming out of the top of it, and when you see it like laying on the ground, there's just no nails coming out of it, even though it's very obviously the side of the nails. That's just little stuff I was picking up on that was pissing me off. So he opens it up. A pig walks out in clothing.
A pig in a coat.
Okay,
in a petticoat.
I was gonna say it later, but I'm just gonna say it now. I don't give a fuck that you read Animal Farm. I don't give a shit.
I don't care.
How little do I care that you read a book that I'm pretty sure is mandatory in high school?
Had to read that in school.
I don't think it was mandatory, but I know at least a lot of people read that in school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they're doing this whole fucking thing where they're trying to sound so cool because they read Animal Farm and like they're putting like little like hints to Animal Farm all throughout the whole fucking movie. And then at the end, Hilary Swank's character literally turns over to someone who says something that references Animal Farm. She's like, "You read Animal Farm? I never thought you would have read Animal Farm. Now I think so much different of you." Bash my fucking head into a wall. Bash my head into a wall millions of times over and over again until it breaks into little tiny pieces and find skull fragments in your fucking cereal the next morning. Holy shit, do I not care.
It's awful.
Oh my God, do I not fucking care.
I so don't care.
And it starts here with a pig walking out with clothing.
Yep.
I mean... you get it by the end of the movie what they were trying to reference with that pig, but at the moment it's like, why does this matter? Why is this, what is this pig doing here? What does this mean? Why do I care? They're doing the things where just later they reveal stuff and they're like,
right,
that's what it was earlier. Isn't that clever? No.
No.
Hate to break it to you.
Never was.
But it's not. You read a book.
Yeah.
Great.
Nobody cares.
Congratulations. You spent $13 million to tell me that you wrote a
read
book.
A book?
Or read a book. $14 million, actually. To tell me that you read a fucking book. Great. That's so witty. Your social commentary is so fucking, it's out there, man. It's fucking out there, dude. Jesus fucking Christ. There's also a bunch of, a dickload of weapons. Dickload assortment of weapons is
what
how
else,
I would
what
categorize.
What else do they find in that little crate?
Oh, keys?
They find the fucking keys for the gags.
Well, that's the fun, because the...
So what's the point in having the gag if they were only gagged from the moment they were placed on the island till the moment they found the crate?
You know what, good point.
Because they weren't gagged in the plane.
Very good point, because you know what? Oh, wait, even better point. You're right. They weren't gagged in the plane. That's the place they should have been gagged.
Exactly.
Randy wouldn't have been walking around going, Monday, Randy.
Maybe that's why they did the gags after the whole Randy
thing.
So
he could be fucking Helen Keller walking through the middle of the plane? So they could throw a fucking Helen Keller gag into this to keep the current TikTok gags going. I swear to God, go on a dating app and you'll just see everyone saying Helen Keller wasn't real. That's real topical. The hunt, real fucking topical. You knew that Helen Keller was going viral on TikTok, so just toss her in the middle of a plane.
Monday, Helen.
Shut the fuck up. God, this movie, what are we even talking about? So yeah, they weren't ball gagged in there,
dude.
So that Randy could be Helen. Fucking, they get the keys to this, and which I was fine with, I guess I didn't think about it at first, because I was like, well, of course they're going to unball gag them, because that's part of the fun, letting
right,
them do
sure.
their own run-around thing, the whole rigmarole. But why?
It just seemed like the ball gag was an afterthought.
It was too early. It was an afterthought.
And they were like, oh, maybe we should have done that already.
Well, you know what they thought? They were like, ball gags are so edgy and like, you know, like you could buy them at a sex shop and like people who go to sex shops, taboo.
Oh,
that's what it was, man. That's what it was. So they fucking got us. They yoinked us.
Yoink.
Yeah, they yoinked us, dude. Yeah. So she gets all the ball gags removed. During the removal of the ball gags, Emma meets a handsome man who seems like he's going to solve her problems throughout the film. And that's when we hear a bang. And then Emma goes, oh, my God, that almost hit me. Referring to the bullet that we just shot. And then she gets blasted.
Yeah, she done.
She's just gone now. Now Emma Roberts is like, what I wish would have happened to me during the viewing of this movie. There's skull fragments everywhere.
And do you think if they kept Emma Roberts around, it's possible that she could have helped save it?
Sorry if you guys hear insane noises right now. My cat's just beating a window's ass.
I was trying not to react.
No, yeah, he's like beating a window's ass.
He's going full
and he well, I had to react because
he almost unplugged everything
and shut the whole operation down. That's the only reason I had to say
George,
something about
what it. What are you doing, buddy?
What in the fuck was that? I gave him an open window over there and he tries to rip open the closed window. Holy shit. Okay. This is just absolutely batshit. But we're gonna move on from this. I need to get a George cam in this room. Just to see whenever he's like trying to destroy the whole operation. Yeah, I'm gonna put one in the top corner of the room just so whenever he's trying to destroy something, I could switch over, show people what's going on, why we're getting distracted for 3 minutes, and you hear like things being punched in the background. That was when I changed the camera off of you too, so people probably thought I was just like punching the wall over here. Like I switched the camera to beat something's ass. Anyway.
No,
so Emma Roberts is dead. Is that where we were?
Yeah, she's dead.
Okay.
Could she have saved the movie?
If she was in throughout the whole thing?
Yeah.
I genuinely think so, because I mean Emma Roberts is always a joy on
Very
camera.
Good.
I would say like eight or nine times out of ten, I am having a good time when Emma Roberts is on camera.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's a good actress. She's enjoyable. Yeah, so she should have been in here a lot longer. So that guy that kind of looks like Channing Tatum, but like shit, runs over to the hole. Channing Tatum kind of looks like shit a lot of times too. He runs over to the hole where bullets are actively being shot at, and he looks down into the hole only to see the woman with a giant spike impaled through the middle of her stomach.
Yeah.
She says some dumb shit like, tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to make a pie. Great. Great line. I know you guys thought real hard on that one in the writer's room. And not Channing Tatum goes, all right, I'm going to pull you out on 1, 2, happy birthday. Who says happy birthday all the time?
Freddy Fazbear.
Probably, yeah. Happy birthday. It's like some like teddy bear kind of dude. It's like, happy birthday. Who does that? Or like, it was like Grimace from McDonald's.
Grimace.
Something. I don't know. Some character of that sort. And then he pulls her out. A chick with a spike throughout
like
her.
In a punji pit. Isn't that what they call those?
A bungee pit?
A punji pit.
Like pungent?
Yeah.
Why is it called that?
I don't know. I just thought that's what they were called.
I mean, it could be called. I'm not saying it's not. I just have no fucking clue. I've never heard that term before in my life.
I don't know where I heard that, but I think that's what it's called.
All right. Well, she's in the fucking bungee pit or whatever. So pretty nothing line, you know, the birthday thing, but whatever, right? Well, what happens next is that the dude gets her out, runs away a bit, but then he steps on a landmine. I mean, that's fun. That reminded me of Tiny Tank.
Love Tiny Tank.
I've never showed you Tiny Tank still. I bought Tiny Tank right when I moved here specifically to show it to you, and I still never have.
I'm really excited about it.
We're going to play Tiny Tank. We're going to do a Tiny Tank stream soon.
There you go.
So, yeah, he blows up. And then the top half of the same chick's body ends up back in the bungee pit.
Yeah, pretty funny.
It was pretty funny as an isolated situation.
Pretty funny.
As an isolated situation. But then they continue. They open their giant fucking traps, and they immediately ruin it for me. Ivan Deschenko, or whatever his name was, in Eastbound and Down. Did you ever watch Eastbound and Down?
No, I've meant to.
Do it immediately.
It is
one of the funniest shows on the planet. Like, legitimately, I will give it that.
Yeah, that's the one with, what's his name, right?
Danny,
Yep.
I had Green in my head right now. I was like, Danny Green.
That David Gordon Green.
That's why I was, because
his writing partner.
I was associating fucking, I was thinking about Danny McBride specifically in Halloween.
Right.
And it was throwing me all off. Okay. Yes. So Danny McBride.
Yeah. That one.
So
the baseball
fucking
one.
Funny, dude. It is so funny.
Yeah.
George is not, okay. Sorry, guys. I'm distracted now because George is attacking a mermaid. Anyway, where was I at? Oh, Deschenko. Yeah, so he tries to save the woman who is half blown up, and she says, shoot me. And he says something like, no, I can't shoot you, implying that he's going to try to save her. And then that's when she, like, steals the gun, this woman with half her body blown off.
Yeah.
Which, again, is kind of funny still. Like, it's not that bad. But then he tries to take it back, and she says to him, let go, you fucking snowflake.
Yeah.
This is when I wrote a rant.
Also, didn't she just have major dash cam energy?
Annie Hardy vibes?
Yeah, like that 100%. Actress, the whole setup.
That's
everything
why it
about
pissed me
that
off, because
is like they wrote Annie Hardy into this movie.
Because here's the thing, I don't know if there's a snowflake joke that's funny. I think it's all just like real boring. Like, I think Shane Gillis could probably make a pretty funny snowflake joke, you know? He's the one man who can like do that and make it pretty funny. Everyone else, it just sounds pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's a dumb statement to say. I'm not saying it's like, oh, why are you making fun of Snowflake? It's such a cool statement. No, it's not. It's fucking stupid, and it's so stupid that it's hard to even make it funny when you're making fun of it. But the way that she said it, it just felt like very Annie Hardy, you know? Because I'm pretty sure Annie Hardy was calling people Snowflake
that
whole movie too, right?
For sure.
She said in the same inflection.
Yeah.
So it was, it was just not, it's just not funny.
No.
It's just, it was not funny at all. Lame joke. It goes back to the Karen South Park thing that I mentioned earlier. It's like, maybe when a couple people made a joke about, you know, people that said Snowflake when Snowflake was first coming around, there was maybe like 3 or 4 jokes that were funny, maybe.
Right.
After that, it's done. Like, it's moved past. It's not funny anymore.
It wasn't funny in 2020.
Yes, it is. Oh, I literally wrote that down in here, James. It was not fun. Let's see. I have it right here. I'm just going to read it to you verbatim. I just feel like if you're trying to tell a joke, it should at least have some humor in it. But in 2020, this joke was already played out. In 2024, it's definitely punched me in my fucking face. And then this is actually where I wrote the whole South Park thing. So I'm going to go ahead and just delete that because I already touched on all that. but I have a rant right here that has one sentence cropped out now. So
right.
It's going to go a little less.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
So, right then and there, that was when I knew what movie I was watching. I feel like 2020 was saturated with movies that wanted to poke fun at the current political climate, but, you know, these jokes were writing themselves. A lot of conglomerates already tried to make their jokes about it. They fell pretty short. You know what? I think I touched on pretty much all of this. After watching the movie, though, I think the movie thought it was making a commentary on both sides. Like how on how like both sides are stupid, you know, right, kind of right, thing. Right, and, right, but right. They were doing like both sides are stupid, but we're finally commentating on it.
Yeah.
We're saying something about it. And that's what makes it funny. So, yeah, it, again, back to the SNL, back to all of it. I don't need to do the rant. I felt I wrote this whole rant down. But now as I'm reading it, I got to all of this. I got to all of that already. So let's move on.
All right.
I already touched on every bit of that. Okay.
I love that.
So now that I already got all that out of the way way before this, some old guy starts getting shot by arrows as he's trying to climb a fence, and he goes, "What is this Avatar shit?" Can you explain that to me, genuinely?
He's making an Avatar
like James
joke?
Cameron, the blue people?
I think
so. Is that what he's referring to? Did they use a lot of arrows in that? Is that why he's saying that, because he got shot by arrows?
I mean, yes. Yes, that's the joke.
You could have made that joke about anything else and it might have made slightly more sense, but trying to refer to someone shooting arrows as that's
Avatar
what happened
shit.
In Avatar, the James Cameron movie with blue people.
Yeah, with ponytails.
This is what I'm talking about with this fucking movie, dude. Like, they're saying things that they're like, yeah, look, it makes sense, right?
People like to make fun of Avatar.
Yeah, I get it. In my brain, it connects that they used an arrow at one point in Avatar. Great. What am I supposed to do with this? My day's so much better now that I got that form of comedy into myself. You know, now that I got a taste of true humor.
I know, right?
Jesus fucking Christ, dude. So anyway, the dude runs off. He gets shot by a few more arrows. And then someone throws two grenades at him. They throw one and they don't pull the fucking pin. And they're like, "Well, you throw another one. Look at that. Grenades everywhere. Blow him up. Fuck you." The remainder of the group runs over to a nearby gas station, and they find an old couple working behind the counter. They're being all like, "Oh, I'm so scared because you guys have guns, and we're on we own a gas station."
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's Montana.
Thought it was Arkansas.
That's what I mean.
Okay, same thing. Look at me correcting. I'm like, what? Arkansas is so different from Montana. Who have I become? Who am I? I forgot my roots, man. Anyway. these guys are on a mission to find out where they are, Arkansas, and get a phone. And Ivan Deschenke gets on the phone with the local police, and this call, oh my fucking God, dude. I am hating this movie more and more the more that I'm talking about it. I'm gonna go way lower on my rating after watching it a second time and talking about it. I already know it. He gets on the phone with the local police, and he's like, "We're being hunted. It's fucking Manor Gate," which we briefly touched on that. That's the whole thing. That's what they're calling the manor, like, conspiracy killing, whatever that's going on. You know, that was referenced in the text messages in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's called Manor Gate now. But also, they don't even explain it that well, so as you're watching it, you're also kind of confused with them, you know? Not with Ivan Deschenke, because he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's like, "Fucking manor gate, you all know what it is. But really, when we're watching it, it's like, yeah, I briefly remember them talking about a manor when they were texting in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
But that's it. So it's also just terrible writing. It's dog shit fucking writing, honestly. Well, I mean, I already said that, but dog shit writing for other ways, like plot purposes now, too, not just the dialogue. So let me break this down. First off, they're obviously doing some spoof on Pizzagate, because topical. So crazy, dude.
Everything's a gate.
Jeffrey Epstein, dude.
Everything's a
I'm
gate.
I'm surprised they didn't put an Epstein fucking
I
thing
am
kind of
surprised.
Maybe they did, and it was so subtle that I couldn't notice because they're just so clever. They called someone, what was Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend's name?
I don't know.
Gail or something? I don't fucking know. Oh, Ghislaine. Ghislaine. That's such a stupid name. She has jizz in her name.
Stop.
See, look, guys, I can make jokes about stuff that no one's ever made a joke about before. Was that funny and topical?
Topical.
Anyway.
Like a pizza.
So, second off, imagine you're in this situation. You need assistance because someone's trying to kill you. You're calling the police operator, and you're going like, "Hey, there's someone trying to kill us. It's fucking Manor Gate." And they respond, "What's Manor Gate?" As in, like, they genuinely don't know what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, "Why don't you just fucking Google it?" That's what he said. He said, why don't you just Google it? You want the operator to Google something while you're being hunted and you're trying to get someone to your area to help you? You want them to Google something. You're so hard into this, like, oh, everyone knows what fucking this Mattergate conspiracy is, that when you are being hunted by someone and trying to find assistance, you don't even know where the fuck you are. You want them to Google this conspiracy.
You're more important about being right than about getting help.
I'm so fucking aggravated at this.
You're more concerned.
And before some asshole goes like, that was the joke, Caleb. You're so stupid for not getting it. Planning and execution are very important. Very important. James, I'll go ahead and let you do your thing again. Go ahead and clear that out.
Jesus.
I get it. This movie makes me want to fucking fill my lungs with fluid as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This is like the whole, like, they have a right to bear arms conversation for entirely too long just because Ivan said he owned 7 guns back in Staten Island. Then they get poisoned. They get gassed. They get absolutely blasted up by the oldies. So at this point, all of them are dead. All 3 of them are dead.
Yeah. No. They don't last long.
No, they just get like... The oldies put on fucking gas masks and then gas them.
Yeah.
You have anything about that?
No, it's all pretty much fodder.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. When old lady's dragging the body off, she sighs at one point and her husband's like, oh, what's wrong, you old hag? And then more painful dialogue. She goes, oh, he has a wedding ring. And he goes, who cares? He's a monster. Probably uses the N-word and not just in private, on Twitter. On Twitter. I was like, great. You guys mentioned Twitter now. Where's Elon Musk when you need him?
That's not even a thing anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised they didn't like predict it early and like they were like, dude, Twitter's going to be X. We have inside information. If they did that, 5-star movie. Best movie in the world.
That's some TG logic.
And again, it's not that it isn't obvious that they're trying to poke fun at Twitter activism.
Right.
But like, why do I need jokes about Twitter activism in a movie about hunting people?
I don't know.
Why isn't this? Aren't there enough of The Purge? The Purge is everywhere.
They made a whole show about it.
Jesus Christ. Oh, they did make a show too. Yeah, they made movies, a show. Come on, man. Who's that joke for? I can tell you who it's for. It's for Alfred. You know Alfred, right?
No.
You don't know Alfred?
Who's Alfred?
He's the guy that's rubbing his grubby little meat palms on his keystrokes to look up Pokimane reaction videos on one screen and Andrew Tate's self-help classes on the other. He's like, oh, look at this. Look at this class. It's going to help me get all the Twitters. And then in the other hand, he's drinking his Prime Energy drink and he's bashing the fucking can on his forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, because it just feels so good.
Leonard?
That's Alfred.
Alfred?
Yeah. Alfred wants to be cool and hip with the woke mob, so he's pumping steroids into the tip of his fucking penis while he eats raw bull testicles and he does mushrooms with Joe Rogan and he complains about cancel culture. That's Alfred, dude. He's just a swick guy on his skateboard, but he doesn't know how to do an ollie. Does this guy sound all over the place? Punch me in the face with another man's fist. Thanks, guys. So some more annoying dialogue later, and Betty Gilpin, Crystal, she shows up at the gas station. God. And we don't know this just yet, but she's going to become the main character right after she kills the two oldies. This is so great. It's going to need some digging into. It's fun. I know she's a survival expert and all, but you're telling me that her survival skills cross all the way to knowing what price every pack of cigarettes is in every state? Maybe she just knows Arkansas. Maybe she's just
I think she's just the particular kind of redneck that happened to know how much cigarettes cost in Arkansas.
Trust me, I know people like that. I know this person. I was that person at a time. I'm chain smoking my third cigarette right now. I know some human cigarette-like creatures.
For sure.
That I would think know she was things. Just that type of person. That's
this is
all.
Too uncanny. She has too many survival skills. I'm not buying it. You don't have all the survival skills. You have a lot. Pick from your bucket. You don't get all the superpowers. You're going to get banned from playtime.
I mean, honestly, like, Crystal's the ultimate Mary Sue.
Fuck Mary Sue. Fuck Hoop-de-hoo. Fuck Timbuktu. I don't give a shit about any of them. I'm going to sit here and I'm gonna smoke my Arkansas cigarette and I'm going to, oh, there's nothing in there. Look, it's like they were tricking me with poison. Shut up. Eating powdered donuts that kill you? What are we talking about? Anyway, she slammed the head of this old woman. She's like, cigarettes are $6 in Arkansas. She took this dude shotgun from behind the counter. She shotgunned them both, blasted them to hell. After she kills the oldies, Crystal goes outside, rips the Arkansas license plate off the truck parked outside. And then she's like, oh, I'm not in Arkansas. I'm in fucking Croatia. Right at that moment, a drone flies by and almost spots Crystal. So she ducks. She's like, oh, my God, all these drones everywhere. Is there a realtor by me? Is there a guy taking pictures? Is that James? Is that James right next to me? And then the drone gets blasted by a third party, essentially letting whoever is hunting them know that they're there. And then in walks Ethan Slurpee's character.
Ethan Suplee.
Ethan Slurpee.
The guy in Mallrats that can't see the sailboat.
His character's name is Shut the Fuck Up, Gary. I'll give it to them. That's kind of funny, I guess. They just called him that at once, and that's his name.
Yeah.
Sure. All their names are just things that they were called at one point in the movie.
Right.
Yeah. So he theorizes that the elites are kidnapping them and hunting them because of cuck shit or something like that. Quote, Crystal doesn't really care about his theories, and they decide to hop on a passing train. Seconds after hopping on this train, they find a bunch of like Arabic illegals standing in the back of the train cart that they're on. This was, well, they're fucking crisis actors and crisis babies. So like,
my God.
Look, if I hopped on that train, I'd say the same thing. I'd be like, there's crisis babies everywhere.
Crisis
babies. I do like,
they got crisis look, babies.
Crisis babies probably was my favorite line out of the movie. I just think that's fucking hilarious. Because the whole thing, he's just like, yeah, these people aren't real. What are you talking about, Crystal? These are all paid actors here to blah, blah, blah. And, they're going to shoot my genitals off. Oh, no, he wants to shoot their genitals off. And then she's like,
there's a lot of talk about genitals.
She's like, what are you talking about, Gary? There's babies here. And he's like, there's fucking crisis babies everywhere.
Yeah.
That was a good line.
They got crisis babies.
I'll give credit where credit's due. I like the crisis baby line. But before Gary can blast off all their genitals, the Croatian army shows up strapped with weapons and ready to blast. And when the army, he gets all of them off the train, they all get searched. And then Gary immediately walks up to the army and he goes, these are Manor Gate crisis actors. I would know I have a podcast. As someone with a podcast,
so this guy's us.
I know he's telling the truth. If you're guys, podcasters never lie. I'm here to tell you right now that podcasters never lie.
It's another list in the long line of lists of movies that have characters who are podcasters and you just want to hate them.
Tusk. Shit.
Halloween 2018.
Halloween 2018. Yep, there's another one. Shit, what else? What else? Fuck. We have done a fair amount of movies that have podcasters in them. Like, there's actually too many. Was the Candyman remake, did they have one in there?
Oh, maybe.
I'm thinking of a different one. Fuck. There's a lot. We need to make a list of that.
Yeah, we do.
We need to make a letterbox list of that for sure. God, we're so terrible at doing a podcast. We can only think of two examples of horror movies where people do podcasts. When we've not even just that we haven't seen them, we've covered definitely more.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, great. So as it turns out, Gary does kind of know what he's talking about because one of the supposed immigrants begins to speak to him in fluent English and says, they don't believe you, Gary, but guess what? You were right about just me. You were right about just me.
Bro. I will say, Ethan Suplee's face, whenever that guy breaks character.
That was pretty good.
It's fucking amazing. Like, that's like, that like was that's some of why the best I acting like in the that movie. Guy. That's why I like that actor, because he could do ridiculous faces like that.
I always think that he's the dude from Shaun of the Dead.
Oh.
I always confuse him with him. He's, wait, was he on My Name is Earl?
Yes.
Okay, that's who he is.
Yes.
I have been trying to figure out what I knew him from this entire time. And then I thought of Shaun of the Dead. I thought of his face. I thought of him next to him. And then I thought of fucking him being a fucking like idiot in My Name. Like, oh, what are you talking about, Earl? It took me.
My name is Earl.
It took me like 3 hours to get that. Well, also the whole time I was watching this yesterday, but me and James were talking about that before this episode started. I was like, what do I know this guy from?
Right. Yeah. No, he is in My Name is Earl.
I never even watched My Name is Earl. I watched like an episode. I just remember seeing the fucking, I remember seeing the commercials. I mean, I saw the commercials all the time. I'm so serious, James.
You never saw it, but you recognize Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl.
That is the only thing I have probably ever like seen him in, like to a degree enough that I would recognize him in. And it is genuinely from the commercials. It is from the commercials. They were on all the time. What channel was My Name is Earl on?
I actually don't know. My dad really liked My Name is Earl. He bought all of them on DVD.
I've never met a person in my life who's watched it. Like, it's not even just that I, like, no one around me watched it. No one.
No, my dad loved My Name is Earl.
My dad watched the shit out of fucking Entourage, but he was still too good for My Name is Earl somehow, which, come on. Let's be so real. Let's be so fucking real. What's his name again? The dude we always make fun of from East, or from, I already forgot the name, Entourage. The main dude, fucking Hollywood guy, whatever. What's his fucking name? I'm just gonna look it up. What's his name? Entourage. What's his fucking name?
Drama.
Drama. Yeah, that dude with the stupid long face. He was in The Blob. Fucking Drama, dude. How'd I forget Drama? He's the best part of Entourage. The Blob. He's The Blob, dude. He beat The Blob up. He bullied The Blob out in the submission. Okay. Anyway, where are we at again?
Croatia.
Crisis actors.
Yeah.
Where we at with the crisis? Oh, yeah. So he's like, yeah, you were right, blah, blah, blah. Gary starts turning over and he starts yelling to the army. And they're like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Because dude's just like speaking in Arabic again. He's like, what are you talking about? That's what Arabic sounds like. So the guy's like, if you just chill, I'll give you a head start before I kill you. And Gary doesn't like that. So he tackles him. I actually feel like this is what you would do in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a pretty accurate representation.
I mean, because he goes like, and he like powers up and then charges at him. That's exactly what you would do.
Just Hulk Hogan, man.
So he charges him and then he grabs a grenade out of his fucking backpack and then stuffs it down his pants. And I feel like if someone just stuffed a grenade down my pants, it would be a lot easier for me to like get a grip of that and get that out and throw it.
I don't know, man.
I wear sweats. It would just fall out the bottom of my pants. I would literally just be able to like open up the bottom of my pants a little bit, let it slide out. I don't wear underwear either, so I mean, it'd be gone. This is a call to action everywhere. Wear sweats, you won't get grenaded down your pants hole. I'm just saying.
You won't get a grenade down the pants.
I'm trying to help people. What do you think would happen if you had that grenade in your pants?
It's not coming. It's not coming out. It's too tight down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not coming out the bottom.
That sucks. That really sucks. Anyway, the cute meeting between Don and Crystal gets interrupted when Crystal gets sent to like some Croatian FBI.
Yeah, some weird fucking holding area,
interrogation room, some right. Shit like that. It's just like the back of like a retail store. But that's fine if that's where you want to interrogate people. If you're the fucking FBI, I don't know what you're doing over there in Croatia. But that's when he goes like, you're hunted like Don. And she's like, who the fuck is Don? I am being hunted. I never said I was being hunted. And then we find out that's one of the old guys from earlier, which honestly, I kind of thought that was Gary for a second.
Yeah, they didn't do a great job at differentiating those two characters.
No, I mean, fucking Don is the same dude.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same guy.
He just has white hair, which I couldn't even recognize in the moment because I was like, is that the same guy? But whatever. They bring Don out, and Don and Crystal's meeting gets interrupted when some short, stocky guy in a suit shows up. And this man is prepared to take them back to America. And you know that because he has a little American flag on the front of his car. He asks a couple questions about how they got into this mess. Crystal suspects he's lying, so she power kicks him in the face the way a donkey would, except if a donkey like had opposable thumbs and would grab the little like, you know, when someone's turning too fast or speeding in a car, the little like hand rail that
you grab. Oh, the oh shit handle.
Yeah, the oh shit handle. She grabs that and then donkey kicks this dude and then like opens the door and then donkey kicks him again right out in one swift motion. During this, Don freaks out, but then Crystal opens the trunk and finds Gary dead body, and then they're like, all right.
Womp, womp.
So you think the army killed? No, he killed. They gave Don or Gary to that guy, and then he killed him.
I don't know.
And then he picked up Don and Crystal.
They intercepted Gary somewhere because Gary just took off running.
Oh yeah, you're right.
After he shoved the grenade down the guy's pants.
So I guess America flag car just found him.
Yeah, somebody intercepted him.
Hmm. All right. Well, I guess I'll take that. Whatever. Crystal tells a story about like the turtle versus the jackrabbit, and the jackrabbit murdering a turtle and eating its family.
Yep.
You know that's supposed to be like the theme for the movie?
Yep.
Like she's the fucking jackrabbit.
Well, he doesn't even say that.
I think they he asks.
At the end he's like,
and then it cuts.
Who's the jackrabbit?
Who?
I think that's what what's his face says. The old man.
already lost his name. Don.
Don?
Yeah, no, I think he asks her. He's like, who's the jackrabbit?
He asks her, but then he doesn't get an answer.
Yeah.
And then at the end, because the whole story is like, yeah, the turtle was racing the jackrabbit. The jackrabbit got cocky, so he took a nap, and then he woke up, and then he lost. And then later he came over and murdered his family and then like ate their grilled cheese or something. Right. And then at the end, she murders Hillary Swank and then eats her grilled cheese, so that means she's the jackrabbit. It's stupid as fuck, and also doesn't really make sense. So does that mean that she was battling Hillary Swank and she was aware of the fight and she took a nap because she thought she was ahead? And then she won. That's not what happened.
No, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what the story is about at all.
They're trying to say that it's like, oh yeah, this is the story. Isn't that so cool? Animal Farm. But it's not even it doesn't even apply to the current situation. The only thing that happened is that she ate Hillary Swank's grilled cheese at the end.
Yeah.
So it's great. So meaningful. Around the 50-minute mark is when we finally get to see the hideout belonging to the elite that are hunting Crystal and Dawn, and it's filled with more dog shit dialogue, if you could have guessed that. Something about the dudes getting, one of the dudes getting a girl pregnant in a favela or like curing AIDS or something. That's fun stuff. And at one point, Glenn Howerton decides to go out and take a piss, and he really doesn't last long when this happens. Not the piss or like sex, but like alive. doesn't last too long. It's very reminiscent of his death in The Strangers, kind of like how he kind of just walks out and then gets destroyed immediately. He walks around a corner, and then Don shows up holding the pig Orwell from the beginning. Also, where the fuck did they find him? Oh, I guess he was on the side of the road, right?
I guess.
Whatever. And he goes, is this your pig? And then that like scares Glenn Howerton, and then he gets his throat slit.
Is this your pig? Could you imagine this being the last words you hear?
Right? And that's startling you enough for you to get murdered? Just be like, yeah, I recognize him. It's Orwell. Fuck. I wouldn't get my throat slit over it. Ridiculous. What happens next is they send Orwell into the bunker that the elite are hiding in as a distraction, and it distracts these blubbering buffoons pretty well because they start blasting him for a solid, 20 seconds before they realize that it's a pig and not a person attacking them?
Right.
Right after Orwell gets killed, which also just very unfortunate. They didn't need to do that.
They didn't have to kill a pig.
They didn't have to do that at all. They argue for a second, and then they're like, how did he get here? Blah, blah, blah. And then one of them goes, you almost shot me, to the other one. And then he gets blasted in the back of the head by Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
She then proceeds to kill the rest of them with pure brute army force.
She just goes for it.
Yeah, she just kills them all. And then Dawn shows back up after she's all done, which is a little sketchy.
Right.
And then this is where I wrote that I want to just say that Peacock fucking sucks dick because the rewind fast forward system is absolutely fucking stupid. you can't just go back 10 seconds or something or like do back forward. You have to press the rewind button, and immediately when it does it, it gives you triple time rewind immediately. So the like most or least the least you're going to do is like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you have that issue on Peacock? It's absolutely aggravating.
I don't have that issue on Peacock.
Do you just not rewind?
Not that I don't think so.
Okay, well, if you ever have to, you're going to want to bash your fucking head into a wall. So one of the elites is still alive. So she lets Don ask her why he's done this, or why she'd done this. It was the chick. And she says, Jesus made me do it. And then that's when the radio pops on. This whole radio thing was dumb, too, because they were acting like they couldn't hear each other for half of it. And then they just start talking to each other like they can hear each other the whole time on it.
Right.
So that's not how it works, but cool. They had Hillary Swank hops on the radio and she's like, Don, how'd it go? Did you kill her, Don? Like, did you get her? And
maybe I just knew it was Hillary Swank because I know Hillary Swank's voice. I just never seen.
I guess that's a thing too.
Because she's got a very specific voice.
Yeah.
I just wasn't thrown off by Hillary Swank. I'm sorry.
I even have
in my notes that she's the one that kills Randy with a high-heeled shoe. I'm like, Hillary Swank kills Randy with a high-heeled shoe. That's what happens.
So to be fair, I saw the IMDb before I even watched the movie, so I already knew she was in it.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, avoided that anyway.
Maybe I ruined the movie for myself. I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to be fun that it was a surprise.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what the whole movie's about.
But if I'm going to spoil the movie by looking at your IMDb page before I started up, that's your fucking fault.
Yeah. You don't see Hillary Swank the whole time. They're like, I wonder who she is. Kim, you're stupid. Kim's dumb. So she ends up killing Don. It seemed like they were probably setting him up, but it also seemed like maybe he could have been on their side.
Yeah.
So we never really get an answer to that, but it's kind of pretty much implied that he was probably innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was.
I think he was too. I'm probably on that side.
But he was dumb enough to not,
I mean, she made it very simple. Like,
he could have complied.
He could have complied.
But instead, he tried to blast her.
He tried to be a fucking big man. So you can't trust somebody like that anyway, right? Like,
she was put in a self-defense situation.
Yeah.
So she had to blast.
I mean, you're going to trust if you're going to bring that guy with you as backup when you go to fight Hillary Swank? Hell no.
No, I'm going to go fight Hillary Swank on my own.
Yep.
It's just me and Swank.
Mm-hmm.
So right after she kills him, she talks to the last remaining dude because he wasn't completely dead yet. And she finds out where the head of the whole rigmarole is before she shoots the dude, killing him. And we immediately get 1 year later text on the screen. And then the flashback starts. This is like 1 hour and 10 minutes into the movie.
Wow.
The flashback is of a woman being given a stern talking to at her workplace. And we find out that apparently some dude named Martin sent pictures of his wiener to a coworker. And then that's when text messages were investigated into. And then a text thread involving Hillary Swank and her friends was found. Sorry. And these were the text messages we saw at the very beginning of the film where they talk about Viva La Manor and hunting people for sport.
Which led to Manorgate.
Which led to Manorgate, which really is just stupid. Hillary Swank's boss tells her that people have seen the leaked text. Now conspiracies are going wild all over the Reddits. They really just use all those keywords. Twitter, Reddit, all that. They were just throwing them all around. And this ends in her getting fired and then Hillary Swank screaming, What people believe there's a conspiracy theory about me. It was depicted terribly.
It was pretty lame.
Awful line. Very lame. Stupid. And then, like, I don't know. You pretty much know what's happening next. I mean, they set up like, oh, now they're going to start hunting people because it...
Because they were accused of hunting people.
Yeah. And again, know what people are going to say. Oh, and yeah, that's the joke of it. It's so wraparound that they...
hunting people because they were joking about hunting people.
And the joke is supposed to be that the elites are stupid because they're hunting people because people said they're hunting people. And then that's supposed to be the joke. You know, wraparound, that's supposed to be the joke. But I think wraparound, that makes it even dumber.
That just makes the movie a dumb movie.
The plot is so dog shit at that point and so, like, just convoluted and complex. Like, you know what? Now I'm going to give credit back to South Park again. It's like when they're making fun of Inception in that one episode. They're just like, whoa, it's so complex and convoluted and cool. And then Sharon's like, just because something is complex does not make it cool. It's exactly how I feel watching this. It's exactly how I feel. So, yeah, now we see Hillary Swank in a room with like a fucking a slideshow.
Yeah.
A slideshow of the people that wronged them with all of her friends. And she's pumping mad raw iron, preparing. Because, yeah, she spent 6 months preparing for this to beat Snowball's ass.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. As it turns out, Crystal is Hillary Swank's Snowball, and Swank wants to build a snowman. I'm so happy. I'm having a great time. That's the tagline of the movie, actually. Crystal is Hillary Swank Snowball, and she wants to build a snowman. In a world...
with a snowman.
Where...
where people read Animal Farm.
In a world where... they read a book. God damn, dude. God damn. They should have just, like, you know those, like, leave a book, take a books that people put in front of their house?
Yeah.
Could have just done that instead of spending $14 million on a movie. Could have just filled it with Animal Farm.
That's all they needed.
Let the world read Animal Farm. Now everyone's going to be as cool as you think they are. So.
Now everyone's going to be as cool as you think you are.
Now the world is going to be as cool as you wanted them to be. You're going to be in a world filled with cool people.
Who all read Animal Farm?
As you see it. So Crystal gets to Hillary Swank's manor. Swank explains that Crystal's entire back... or she explains Crystal's entire backstory to her. She's like, your mom did meth and your dad did meth. They're dead. Your life sucks. Ha ha. You pissed me off. Now I piss you off. Your mom dead. It was like the Nicki Minaj diss track on Megan Thee Stallion. It's just, ha ha, your mom dead. Ha ha, your mom dead. Great. Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, so.
Crystal's got a curveball, though, man. Crystal's got a curveball, dog.
I'm losing my mind. So, At the end, Crystal says Hillary Swank got her Crystal May Creasies mixed up. Her last name is Creasy. And this Crystal is the wrong Creasy.
You got the wrong
creased up hoe. Now you gotta go. That's the jokes in this movie. genuinely didn't care about any of that. I know I've said that about everything in this movie, but I genuinely did not care about that. They fight for a bit. Actually, I guess a fairly decent fight on Hillary Swank's end, not saying movie-making wise, but that's only because Crystal has been beating the living ass out of everyone in this movie.
Right.
She fights six people at once. I guess he was a flagstaff or whatever you call them in the army. What are they again?
Yeah.
He's a flag girl in the army. What do they call them again? What are the flag girls in the army?
Color guard?
Like the butter squad?
The butter squad.
What do you call those army dudes again? I'm going to look up branches of army.
The butter squad.
Yeah, the butter squad,
what
dude.
What are you talking about?
The flag girls. You know who I'm talking about.
ROTC?
Basically, yeah. Like when ROTC graduates, they become flag girls, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Color guard?
Color guard is like a marching band thing, yeah.
What's like the really lame thing when like you're like, I'm in the army, and then you say you're in like that one flag girls, and then everyone's like
the National Guard?
Yeah, that's that the flag girls. Yeah. See what we got there. He was in the flag troops, dude. But yeah, she beat that flag girl's ass earlier.
Oh my God. We tried to get to National Guard.
Look, thank you for your service. So they fight for a bit.
You called them the flag girls.
Thank you for your service, flag girl.
You're such an asshole. The flag girls.
Whoa, don't beat my ass about it. Don't beat my ass about it, flag girl. I'm gonna have to raise my white flag. Look, let me tell the story of the movie, sorry. James.
I'm sorry.
Quit focusing on things that don't matter.
Like this
that
whole movie.
Don't matter.
Like the whole movie. The whole movie doesn't matter.
So it's pretty plot armor impressive that Swank doesn't get murdered within seconds of this fight starting.
Right.
But you know, she trained for 6 months, guys.
6 whole months.
She trained for 6 months. She can beat this person's ass that has every skill in the world. Oh, the fight is long and choreographed, and I guess not all that bad if I'm looking at it as a pow-pow perspective, but after going through what I just did during the movie, after talking about what I just did, after finding out that Hillary Swank's whole reason for doing everything was so boring,
yeah,
absolutely fucking boring, and with the fight lasting 7 minutes long, after I just watched Crystal kill 7 dudes in 1 minute,
right,
I did not care.
No.
Did not care. Great. Crystal almost gets killed after being stabbed really bad. Swank gets stabbed back. Not even as bad as she stabbed Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
But then Hillary Swank dies and Crystal lives. And then she's just walking around perfectly fine. Like, she was dying and they're on the ground like, well, now that we're both dead, let's tell each other everything.
Yeah.
Oh, you read Animal Farm? Twinkle, 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 bat my eyelash. Great. Great. And then Hillary Swank dies. She just dies. And then Crystal eats Hillary Swank's grilled cheese that she was making when Crystal showed up, symbolizing her being a rabbit.
She's a jackrabbit. She's
fucking a rabbit now. And then she cauterizes her wound with a blowtorch. She puts a dress on. She steals Hillary Swank's dog and then takes her private plane over and then heads home. That's the end of the movie.
That's it.
That's the fucking movie, dude.
She has caviar with the flight attendant.
I'm rating this a lot lower than what did I originally rate this? I hate this. I fucking hate this movie. Like, it's not even like I'm displeased. I actually really hate this movie.
Yeah.
I watched it, and because it was made fairly well and because it had good moments, and the kills are very good. I would say the kills are
right.
They're not like amazing and groundbreaking or anything, but they're not bad.
Yeah.
They're not bad at all. So I did like it, and I thought I had a lot of... Yeah, I gave this a 3. This is a 1.5.
You say it's a 2 for me.
Let me go ahead. Letterboxed. Edit. This sucks. 1.5 now.
That was the most Jake the Dog movie review I've ever heard.
Look, man. BMO ghost wrote it for me. That was a stupid joke to end a movie filled with stupid jokes. I want to punch myself in the face again. There's a lot of movies that make me want to punch myself in the face, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, how many kills were in it, though?
22.
Okay.
I want to say 21 at first because in the beginning I did not count Randy because I was like, it didn't seem like he died. But then I went back. I guess he did die. So 22.
Yeah, 22.
22 kills. There's this IMDb trivia, and we already mentioned it, but I'm just going to read it to you quote for quote.
Yeah.
Crystal herself enacts the story she tells of the jackrabbit and the box turtle with her as the jackrabbit. After destroying all her hunters who represent the box turtle, she eats their dinner, which is the grilled cheese made by Athena. They made up the characters in that story and what they represent.
Yeah.
They completely switched around because that's not what happened.
Right.
The turtles were the hunters in that original story? The turtle was just a dude who was trying to win a race.
The turtle was the one that got challenged.
He got him and his family got murdered by a dude who was pissed off. That's, if anything, that's the exact opposite. Like this, right. The roles should be almost reversed. The ending wasn't the same. I'll give you that, but this is why this movie pisses me off. Like, they think that they're trying to be so fucking philosophical.
It thinks it's so smart, and it's just not smart.
It's stupid as shit. Every one of their points can be easily disproven with someone with a slight fucking brain.
Okay, never mind. I'm not going to say it.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say it.
No, okay. You guys are fucking stupid, whoever made this movie. You're idiots. You're dumbasses. I would not recommend this.
No, I wouldn't recommend it either.
I think if you watch it the first time, I mean, you could watch a worse movie, I guess.
But has a novelty in that it does the thing where you spend the first half hour not knowing who the main character is, and
the first half hour though, it's like the first because I will say the first 50 minutes or so of the movie go by very, very fast.
Yeah,
very fast. They're moving a lot is happening, so it's kind of just bounce, bounce,
right,
bounce.
Right, right, right.
But that's only the first 16 minutes of the movie or so.
But that's kind of clever,
I guess, if you take it from a movie that came out in 1996.
Right.
Yeah. don't take that, guys. James tried to give you something, but I'm not giving it to you.
It's kind of funny because you're like, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Is it that person?
Is that
person?
Funny?
Is it that person? Oh, it's none of those people. Who's it going to be? But yeah, that's about it. That's all it's got going for it.
That's the only thing it has going for it. Yeah, this sucks. 1.5, 2 stars from James.
2 stars.
Not recommend it.
No.
Yeah, no. I forgot to write a fuck, marry, kill. Okay, let me think of it off top. You got me.
Yep.
You got Annie Hardy from Dashcam.
Oh.
You got
why?
You got Jason Blum.
Killing Annie Hardy. I'm fucking Jason Blum and I'm marrying you.
I didn't give you many options with that.
That's
one.
That's the only way out.
I mean, you don't want to spend a lot of time with Jason Blum. Annie Hardy gotta go.
No, she's
Annie Hardy
done.
Gotta go.
She's done. I'm sorry.
You stuck with me on that one. yeah, the prequel to this was Turkey Shoot in 1988. go check that out. It's actually a fucking decent movie.
Mm.
It'll give you everything that you probably, possibly, maybe wanted out of this, but didn't get whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Ebert said this movie can eat his dick from the grave. yeah, that's the end of the episode. Thanks all for right. making it this far, guys. Thanks for Scotty 3 Chains. Why the fuck do you pick this movie? I know he knew how much this would aggravate me. That is the only reason that he picked this. Not for anyone else. Not even thinking about you. He knew how much this would piss me off.
Right.
And he did that.
I think so.
Thanks a lot, asshole. Piece of shit. You absolute fucking scumbag. I wish so many bad things on you. Oh, you piece of shit. Love you, Scotty. maybe we'll bring Pick a Movie back one day, but it's not looking good after the hunt. So it's the end of the episode. Thank you if you made it this far. I want to thank you for listening. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell a friend about the show. Go leave a review on the show, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're listening. Leave a rating and review. You could even tell us if we suck. I think that's cool. I'll go and read it out sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's fun. I think it's good stuff. A recent review said that they love Kim, and I said it to Kim, and then Kim was like, oh, this is really cool. People aren't shitting on me anymore. I was like, ha-ha. So that's always fun. You love that. And if you want to check us out on the social medias, we are on Instagram at Horror Soup. I am on Letterboxd at Horror Soup Caleb. James is at Night Shift Video.
Yep.
Patreon.com/horror soup, where you can find extra bonus stuff and whatnot. There was recently a commentary that I did on the movie Freaks that released. There's also, if you listen to the Blair Witch episode, we mentioned that our first Blair Witch episode was kind of destroyed. It was still there, and it's like still like listenable. It just wasn't like listenable for the main feed.
Yeah.
That's also on Patreon. So if you want to check that out, that was a really fun episode. Like, it was a really good episode, legitimately.
It's a good night.
We were like, Kim had to watch me almost like bash my head into a wall when it wasn't usable, because I was like,
this worked out. The extravaganza,
the
man.
Extravaganza.
It brought redemption to the whole series.
I think that it worked out very well the way that it did.
It's insane.
And you can still listen to the original one, which I think is also a really good episode. So if you like the Blair Witch extravaganza, you can check out our discussion on just the original one. Mm. I think that one was really good too. What is everything else? I think that's pretty much all the plugs. Oh, listen to the Scream podcast. It's the podcast, horror movie podcast, that I host with Ash and Elena from Morbid. Check out everything else that they do. The Rewatcher, Morbid. Check out everyone else on the Morbid Network. And thank you to Ross Lee for the music that you hear in the beginning and in the end. Thank you to Mutant Members Only Club for all the other stuff throughout the episodes. And James, you got anything to send us off with?
A bird in the hand is worth no bird at all.